and as he jumped, he glimpsed more figures in black rushing down the corridor toward them, trampling over the piles of dead and dying innocents, those already well serviced by the Legions of Five. Dam, then Nara, leaped across the hallway. Ryan caught the blonde as she cleared the gap, then pushed her ahead of him. Another pair of Sekhmen made the jump without drawing enemy fire. But the next two who tried to cross were hit by a half dozen beams at once. Their bodies knocked sprawling in midair, they came down 10 feet away in pieces, hissing. On the other side of the gap, the Warlord Sekhmen hesitated, wanting to make the jump, but afraid to try. With the pulse rifles massed down the hallway to the right, to cross the corridor was death by firing squad.
Stay there! Don't try to follow us! Just keep them off our butts!
Ryan and the others had only moved a short distance down the hall when they heard the sounds of furious fighting from the juncture behind them. The Warlord Sekhmen were doing their best to obey his final orders, to defend his back against all comers. Then, above the grinding tumult of battle, it sounded like 100 tea kettles were blowing their tops.
They're cutting through the walls with sustained fire. They'll have your men flanked in no time.
Run!
To keep up with the tall warlord, Ryan had to break into an all-out sprint. High-kicking down the hall, they took a dogleg to the right. 20 feet down, on the left side of the corridor, was the first closed door that Ryan had seen so far. It was also locked. Thrillbill quickly opened it with a key. Once Ryan was inside, it was clear why the warlord was concerned about security. The room was a bunker. Its left rear corner, the one that faced down the long hallway they'd just fled, was heavily fortified. The wall itself was defended with plates of the same black material as the battle suits. Sandbagged in place, the armor ran from the floor halfway up the wall. More black plates extended from the ceiling, leaving a gap in the coverage of about a foot. It wasn't a firing port yet. The wall on the other side was still intact. The gap in the armor ran 10 feet along the middle of the wall, roughly the width of the corridor. There was plenty of room for 4 pulse rifles to line up along it.
Know how to use one of those?
Thrillbill pointed at the air-cooled light machine gun that sat on a tripod at the far end of the firing port. In front of its pistol grip was a huge drum magazine. Ryan checked the round counter. The thing was loaded with 2,500 rounds. The barrel had a massive recoil compensator, but nothing else unusual.
Yeah, I can use it, but why would I want to bother? Bullets won't penetrate that armor they're wearing.
You've got a lot to learn about battle suits.
Down the hallway, the sounds of fighting died away, but the screaming continued. It wasn't a good sign.
Under the plasterboard of the walls, the floor and the ceiling? The hallway out there is lined with this stuff. It reflects the battle suit's defensive pulses. If you pack a lot of suits in a confined reflective environment and then put them under heavy fire, things get all fucked up in a hurry. The defensive pulses from one suit are read as offensive attacks by the others. They counteract and cancel each other. In other words, what we have out there is a shooting gallery. I want you to open fire when I tell you to, and don't stop firing until I give the all clear.
Ryan hunkered down behind the machine gun, found the actuating handle, and chambered round number one. Then he looked at the blank wall that filled the firing port.
Better turn your heads. I'm 5 seconds from blowing that wall.
The warlord had a small detonator in his hand and was staring at a video monitor that showed a view of the hallway, looking down from ceiling height. Ryan watched the monitor, too. After no more than a couple of seconds, men in black appeared in the distance. 50 or more, Ryan thought. The troopers at the head of the line fired their weapons, cooking the people still trapped in the hall, then booting the corpses out of the way.
We got 'em.
And with that, Thrillbill tripped the switch. The front of the wall blew out into the hall. Before the plaster dust cleared, Nara, Dam, and the Sekhmen had their tri-barrels shoved through the port.
Fire!
The range to the troopers in the front of the pack was less than 40 feet. Ryan pinned the machine gun's trigger. As the weapon roared to life, its buttstock rammed hard against his shoulder. He fanned the front runners with hot lead, sending an unbroken string of brass holes clattering against the wall to his right. On his left, the others cut loose with pulse rifles cranked up to the max. If he hadn't already lost the eye on that side, he would have had to close it to keep from being blinded by the green glare. The whistling noise of their sustained laser fire was deafening. For a fraction of a second, the battlesuit's defenses seemed to hold. The 4 men in the lead continued to advance as their armor deflected the incoming fire. The full-power laser beams veered off their chests and into the sidewalls, only to veer off again when they struck the concealed armor sheathing. Over and over, the beams deflected off armor and reflected off walls, only to strike armor again farther down. Laser light zigzagged the entire length of the hall, turning it into a screaming green inferno. Ryan poured a torrent of slugs straight into their black helmets. It sounded to him like the machine gun was putting out better than 1,000 rounds a minute, but the men in black kept coming. Then, as Thrillville had predicted, it all fell apart. So many rounds, so little space. The row of black helmets shattered under Ryan's hail of lead. The armored bodies were flicked aside by probing lances of green. The pressure of their concentrated firepower peeled back the point of the attack, melting men, rattling them inside their armor. As the targets disintegrated and fell away, Ryan adjusted his aim, reaching farther and farther into the corridor. If the sustained lasers were largely bloodless, the conventional military rounds he fired were anything but. They blew through the black chest plates and exited the other side, taking with them plumes of red mist. There were no screams audible over the whistling of the laser rifles. There was no return of fire from the opposition. Thrill Bill had laid his trap well. Ryan was still firing into the bodies heaped at the far end of the corridor when he heard the warlord shout,
"Clear!"
Ryan lit up on the trigger. When he looked down, the magazine's round counter showed 12 bullets remaining. Nothing moved in the hallway but smoke and fire. The haze of burnt cordite from Ryan's weapon mixed with the clouds rising from the piles of dead. Fire raced along the great rents in the plaster that the pulse rifles had made. Nara viewed the carnage on the other side of the firing port with stoic silence. Dam was less subdued.
"We cut them bite-sized!"
Dam slapped palms with the sec man next to him. The warlord didn't join the celebration either. Already at the door, he was waving for them to follow.
"Come on, there's a lot more where they came from. We gotta move."
Ryan began picking up his gear.
"How many of those man-traps have you got, Bill?"
"Not nearly enough to handle what Five's throwing at us. We've got to get clear of Gloomtown, and fast, or they'll box us in."
"Gloomtown is a sealed level. The only way in and out is controlled by Five."
"The only official way out."
In the hall outside, the warlord turned left and fell into a steady, hard jog. Ryan noticed that the people in the corridor had stopped trooping after them. They were drawing way too much heat. It was safer to lie on top of one another in the side rooms and pray that when the lasers sliced through the walls, they took out only the people piled above. After a series of alternating right and left turns, the warlord stopped at another locked door. He opened it, then reached inside and hit a light switch. Ryan could see a long flight of metal stairs. Deserted stairs. The light was too dim at the bottom for him to be able to make it out. The stairwell was lined with red brick walls, which looked ancient, and the mortar crumbled at the slightest touch.
"After you."
When they'd all entered and descended a few stairs to give him room, Thrill Bill stepped in. He shut and relocked the door from the inside. Ryan saw him take a compact, tape-wrapped package from a niche in the wall. He wasn't sure what it was until he saw the man connected to the door's top hinge. Booby trap.
A wake-up call.
At the bottom of the stairs, the floor was concrete. Ahead was a narrow, low-ceilinged tunnel lined with more of the decaying brick. As they advanced, overhead they could hear muffled sounds of explosions, the growl of engines, and the clanking of tracked vehicles maneuvering on concrete.
"We're under Gloomtown."
They trotted for another 5 minutes, following the tunnel as it wound underground. The walls on either side were featureless. No doors, no windows. But occasionally there were breaks where sections of wall had either collapsed from age or been broken in on purpose. In the weak light from bulbs strung along the ceiling, Ryan could see into the cramped little rooms beyond. They were empty but for piles of dirt on the floor and massive, rusting I-beam supports that crisscrossed the interior space. It was at one of these unremarkable breaks that Thrill Bill called another halt. He stepped through the large hole in the bricks, then ducked under the crossing I-beams and moved to the far wall. Ryan, Nara, and Dam watched him from the tunnel side of the break.
"I hoped I'd never have to use this."
The warlord bent and started to push the top off a heap of dirt.
"Use what? I don't see an exit."
Ryan noticed a pair of iron hooks screwed into the mortar at about chest height. Thrill Bill exposed the lid of a plastic crate. He opened it and took out a flashlight, which he set aside. The crate yielded 2 more tape-wrapped parcels, which the warlord hung by loops of cord to the exposed hooks. He stepped in front of the parcels, and something beeped. He scooped up the flashlight.
"Outside. We've got 10 seconds to get to cover."
Ryan and Nara ran for half that time, then crouched against the base of the tunnel wall. A thunderous explosion avalanched the already breached walls and sent a roiling wave of pulverized brick dust sweeping over them. Thrill Bill